is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
This is Chris Cunty of the Catholic Review. Today we're talking about the 2024 Oscars, which will be awarded March 10th. Our guest host is Ann Augerton of the Arlington Catholic Herald. And full disclosure, Ann Augerton is my wife. Our guests are two esteemed movie reviewers for Catholic publications, Daughter of St. Paul, Sister Rose Picotti, and John Mulderig of OSV News. Welcome to the show. Sister Rose is talking to us from Rome, where she just had a gorgonzola pizza dinner without us. And John is coming to us from New York. Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to be with you.
Some of the movies that came out in 2023 were produced during the pandemic. We also had the Hollywood writer strike and then the actor strike, both of which hindered production and promotion of the movies. I heard that Bradley Cooper went to one of the premieres of Maestro, but actually couldn't talk in the Q&A afterwards because it was during the strike. How did these circumstances affect the enjoyment of movies in 2023?
From my perspective, I think that people who love to go to the movies went anyway, but I don't know. I always had in the back of my mind this fear of, were we going to get good movies? What's going to happen next year? Because it doesn't take 1 year to make a movie. It usually takes two or three, even longer sometimes, to get good films. But we got an excellent crop this year of films, I think, a collection of films. But I don't think it affected in the enjoyment of going. The experience is always wonderful for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to extend that to everybody.
Good.
I would tend to agree. I'm not sure that the enjoyment was diminished, although the choices may have been fewer in terms of finished projects. I would say in terms of wide release films, it wasn't that great a year, but some of the smaller productions, the limited releases, were of high quality. So they're still making good movies. There aren't as many in wide release as there were before the pandemic yet. So in that sense, the industry is still rebounding. And I think the strikes posed a further challenge. But we may be living with the effects of the strike for a while, as Sister points out. It was just another challenge for Hollywood as they were trying to pull themselves back up after the pandemic.
We're going to talk about the Best Picture nominees in a little bit. But were there other movies that weren't nominated for Best Picture that you both think you would have liked to have seen on the list? Sister Rose?
I'm trying to think. You know, I've been in Italy, and my options are limited, you know, and I haven't seen a lot of off the marquee type of films.
Okay.
You know, even though I have access to some links and things. So I'll just pass that one to John, because I think he may have seen more than I have.
Well, again, I tend to see the wide releases, and some of those are of high quality, but a lot of them, my joke is I watch the movies where things blow up, because a lot of them are sort of mindless action films and things like that. I can't think off the top of my head of any that I would want to have seen nominated for Best Picture. I have my favorites among those that were chosen, but I can't think immediately of anything that was a glaring omission from the list of nominees.
Okay.
You know, if anything, the two foreign nominations are the French-English one, Anatomy of a Fall and Past Lives kind of surprised me, because those fall in that small film category, that independent film that I would call it that. They were English and either Korean or French. But I'm not sure that by themselves they even rose to the standard of Best Picture nominee. I just, maybe I wasn't in the proper emotional space. All I can say is that compared to these other films that were nominated, I was surprised that they made the cut.
Okay, good to know. What about the redeeming movies? Were there any redeeming movies this year?
Oh, you really want to know. So yes, I am going to come out in full. Well, I loved, you know, love is a hard word to use for some of these films, because they handle difficult topics that don't make Americans look really great. And that would be Killers of the Flower Moon and of course, Oppenheimer. Those two films were incredible films. I mean, as far as the craft of filmmaking goes, the stories themselves, and Killers of the Flower Moon at least had some heroism in it. Whereas Oppenheimer, yes, looking from this place in history, didn't really have any heroes and in fact had some real anti-heroes, but brilliant acting. I want to give Robert Downey Jr. so much kudos and praise for his acting ability. He's amazing.
I barely recognized Robert Downey Jr. in that role.
Same. And even Bradley Cooper too.
Oh my goodness. But Bradley Cooper is, I think he's only at the beginning of his, you know, was really taking off as a filmmaker. He's got so many years ahead of him, and I want to see him do well. But here's the big film for me was Barbie. And you might say, oh, Sister Rose, of course, you're a nun. You like women. And you're pro-feminist. You're all this and that. No, this film is Plato's Allegory of the Cave. It's about being human. And yes, being woman. But there's so much to it. I still have to write about it more, but maybe I'm getting ahead of ourselves here.
We can come back to that in a little more detail.
Yeah. Okay, let's do that. I'll give that over to John then for some commentary there.
Well, I certainly loved Killers of the Flower Moon. And in tribute to that, I'd say I usually complain if a movie is 2 hours and 5 minutes long, because if you can't tell the story in 2 hours, there's something wrong. But to sustain that film for basically 3 hours is really an amazing achievement. I was less impressed. I had my concerns about Oppenheimer. I think in many ways it's an amazingly immersive experience, but aspects of the storytelling were lacking. I thought some parts of his background were very well handled. Others not so much. So I felt it was an uneven film, although an impressive one. And then Barbie, I'm afraid I had a completely different reaction from Sister.
So, tread carefully, John.
Well, now you have to tell us.
This is why we have the two of you on. So. Balance.
Maybe we should just file this one under De Gustibus. I don't know. I felt it was driven by ideology. And I always liked the story of, I think it was Sam Goldwyn who said, if you want to send a message, use Western Union. I'm making a movie. So I thought the message was too much in charge of the film. But again, that's a matter of taste.
Did either of you get a chance to see Shelter in Solitude, which really kind of looked at the death penalty and in some way, the church's attitude toward it?
Did not get to see it.
Yeah.
No, that sounds interesting. Unfortunately, I haven't seen it either.
Yeah. I interviewed Siobhan O'Hallan, who's the writer and the star of the movie. And it was a very interesting conversation, because she grew up Catholic and her Catholic faith shaped her look at this film and this topic very much so. She even has she plays the prison guard, and she sings "Christ Be Our Light" to this prisoner on death row. So, it's really interesting, the way it handled some of that, those topics.
It was very spunky, but it was poignant too.
Yeah. So, and John, you alluded to it, the length of Oppenheimer. What's up with the length of some of these movies? You know, they ran 2.5, 3 hours long, and sometimes I was like, okay, let's pick up the pace here. Why are movie makers going this long? It's because audiences will say.
I wish I knew. I think perhaps with the rising cost of a movie ticket, maybe they feel as though they have to give people more for their money. In the vast majority of cases, it's just an issue of not being properly edited, because other than a beautifully mounted screen version of War and Peace, there's just no excuse for going over 2 hours in any substantial way, I don't think. And again, that's a tribute to Killers, because the fact that it didn't feel like it was 3 hours long was amazing. But for the most part, I think it's just self-indulgence, to be honest. But that's just a guess.
Well, I can agree with that. And I think that over 2 hours, 2 hours and 10 minutes. Give us a break. You know, it's like a too long of a sermon. Over 8 minutes or 7 minutes, it becomes more about the preacher than it does about the person sitting on that hard seat. But Oppenheimer, there's so much of that I could have cut. I would have cut. But, and you know, directors hate to hear this, it was still a movie we need to see. It's a story we need to know about. We need to know what went on back then so we don't do it again. And because of what happened then, we live in a world where the nuclear threat is omnipresent. We can't get rid of it. But Killers of the Flower Moon, I almost wish it had been a miniseries. I think it would have made a brilliant 8-episode or 10-episode series, limited series. On the other hand, another film that was fascinating because some of that history I didn't know, and it made me go and look up more about it and to look at who we are as white people in America, because we're the newcomers. These are people who were here from the beginning. And so lots to think about.
Just going to say the other outstanding aspect of that film for me was the emotional ambiguity surrounding Leonardo DiCaprio's character. The fact that a man could be in love with his spouse and yet do things that are the very opposite of loving, he made that credible. And I thought that was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at one point he said, I love money. He said, I love my wife and I love money almost as much as I love my wife.
But I thought he was a man who didn't really understand what it meant to have a conscience or a character.
Yeah.
He was caught, maybe it was because of the war he was coming back from. And he was such a kind of a pathetic character because he couldn't remain faithful to his wife, who was the epitome of fidelity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we are talking today about the 2024 Oscars with two fine film critics, John Mulderig of OSB News and Sister Rose Picotti of the Daughters of St. Paul. This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review with our guest co-host, Ann Augerton, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Archbishop William E. Laurie celebrates Holy Mass at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception and honors the Little Sisters of the Poor at Guadalupe Radio Network's Fishers of Men Benefit Dinner, April 27th. Radio host Debbie Giorgiani keynotes the evening at Catholic University of America. The Little Sisters' tireless work with the elderly, heroic witness to women discerning vocations, and standing up for religious freedom are why they're being recognized. At grnonline.com, learn more. Catholic Review Media is a proud sponsor of Guadalupe Radio Network.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Jesuit Father Frank R. Haig, a beloved professor of physics at Loyola University, Maryland in Baltimore, and the former president of two Jesuit universities, died February 28th. He was 95. Father Haig, president of what was then Wheeling College in West Virginia from 1966 to 1969, taught physics at Loyola from 1972 to 1981, before leaving Baltimore's Jesuit University to become president of Le Moyne College in Syracuse, New York. The Philadelphia native returned to teach at Loyola in 1987 and was named Professor Emeritus of Physics in 2005. He continued to teach at Loyola for another 14 years. Ordained a priest in 1960, Father Haig received the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Washington Academy of Sciences in 2016. During his presidency at Le Moyne, Father Haig was known for his outreach and sensitivity to indigenous peoples. He was instrumental in establishing an annual lecture on the Iroquois, providing scholarship aid for Native American students, and promoting a 1985 conference that brought 2,500 people to campus. Father Haig was the younger brother of Alexander Haig, who served as President Ronald Reagan's Secretary of State. As a Jesuit who took vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, Father Haig could not inherit anything from his older brother's estate when Alexander Haig died in 2010. He did, however, use funds from a $1 million gift to create the Alexander M. Haig Jr. Endowment for Science, Faith, and Culture at Loyola. Father Haig was a former weekend associate at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Baltimore. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. A small Ukrainian Catholic church in Curtis Bay that has suffered declining population and financial challenges for many years has closed its doors. Saints Peter and Paul Ukrainian Catholic Church, a historic parish that has served the Ukrainian community for more than a century, celebrated its last Divine Liturgy February 25th with 13 people in attendance. The church, which falls under the jurisdiction of the Archeparchy of Philadelphia, officially closed March 1st. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, I'm George Matisek.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore makes the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through training and background checks and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese's efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org/accountability.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
We are back on Catholic Review Radio. My guest co-host today is Ann Augerton of the Arlington Catholic Herald. We are chatting about the 2024 Oscars with two film critics who look at movies through a lens of faith, John Mulderig of OSB News and Sister Rose Picotti of the Daughters of St. Paul. As part of our conversation, we asked our experts for their takes on each of the nominees for Best Picture. That alone took more time than we have for our Catholic Review Radio time slot. Here's their evaluation of one nominee, Past Lives, on which they happen to disagree. For the full conversation, including their evaluation of each of the nominees, listen to the bonus full episode at CatholicReview.org/CR-radio. The next one up on the list is Past Lives. It shows us a couple of South Korean children who are separated when one's family emigrates from South Korea until they meet again many years later. John, what do you think about this one?
I enjoyed it very much. I thought it was quite touching, very subtle and sensitive, the kind of gentle movie that you don't always get to see. I think somehow, particularly Americans, are not especially good at making this kind of a movie. It struck me more as kind of a European style movie, or obviously in this case, Korean. I thought it was also interesting in that it presents the immigrant experience in terms of the main character being torn between her Korean identity represented by her childhood sweetheart and her American identity represented or embodied by her American husband. So I thought that was an interesting aspect of the plot.
Okay, I thought it was boring. I'm sorry, John. I agree with everything you said, but I was surprised at how flat it was. It just seemed flat to me. And I think, you know, sometimes it's the emotional space you're in when you're watching a film that matters, right? Or your expectations. I am a huge fan of K-drama. I will watch almost anything as long as it's moral. But I think that if this one were to win, I'd probably stop talking for a while, for 10 minutes.
Well, I when you say flat, I think I don't want to get into cultural stereotypes, but I think there were a lot of repressed emotions going on. And the achievement of the actors was to convey what they weren't necessarily expressing in the way, you know, an exuberant, let's say, American might just let the heart be on the sleeve. That was not what was going on in this movie. I wasn't troubled by that. I didn't find it flat. I found it kind of interesting in having to read between the lines, and made it more visual than verbal.
Well, you know what it reminded me of? When I was a kid, our backyard backed up to the backyard of a girl I went to school with. And we used to meet at our back fences when our chores were over, and we would just talk. And then all of a sudden, she was moving away. I think we must have been about 8 or 9. We were very young. And I can't tell you how much I missed her. And I had a 2-year-old younger sister at that point. Not much help in the friendship department at that point. But in the sense of missing someone that you grew up with, that emotion certainly worked. But otherwise, I still don't know how it made it to the best film list. Sorry.
Interesting.
John, are we still friends here?
Yes, absolutely, sister.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to ask you, Sister Rose and John, for your best guess on which of the top 10 picture nominees will take home the Oscar. Sister Rose?
Okay, I think Oppenheimer's going to get it.
Okay.
But I actually think that Killers of the Flower Moon should pick it up.
Okay, excellent. John?
That's interesting, because those are the two that I would say are the contenders, the main contenders. Mm-hmm. I would agree that it's going to be one of those two. If I were choosing, I might choose the Holdovers, but I think my guess would be it'll be between those two films, Oppenheimer and Killers.
Great.
Now, the one I want to win is Barbie.
We've heard that.
I don't want to cause any, conflagration here, but I have a feeling that given the fact that they didn't get Best Director and Best Leading Actress, I think that Barbie's probably off the, they just put it there.
The one thing I learned from that movie is I don't own enough pink clothing.
Nor do I, obviously, nor do I.
So quickly, because we're coming to the end of our time, what do you think will happen with the movies in 2024 and beyond? Any prognostications on that front? John?
I think we're still going to see the lingering effects, as Sister pointed out, of the strikes. It'll be interesting to see if the volume eventually picks up again, because it was around the middle of this year, I think, that it was the first time since the pandemic we had 3 wide releases in a week. It was quite common in pre-pandemic times for there to be 5 wide releases in a week. So we'll see how that goes as the year progresses. But the early months, we could still see a lingering effects of the strikes.
I think that's absolutely true. And I still hope that they have some really good films waiting to be released that they haven't finished up yet, but now they will, because there's so many great stories to be told. And as we know, we have great storytellers out there. And my wish is that women can keep on going, that Greta Gerwig does not get discouraged by this, and that Margot Robbie, and I think they're being very gracious.
Greta Gerwig's next project is to work on the Chronicles of Narnia, so that should be interesting to see.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't talk about Taylor Swift. Now, she didn't get nominated here, but I know I really admire her, and I admire her because she's given us stuff that is not violent, it's nonviolent, it's bringing people together, it's giving jobs to a lot of people. There's nothing about it that is disturbing, I think, from a Catholic or even a parental point of view, and except maybe the price of tickets. But what she's been able to do, I hope that other girls and women take courage from how to be a woman in a really tough business, and to do it well with grace and with courage and with confidence. I wish all the young women out there confidence.
Excellent. I did not know Sister Rose was a Swiftie.
I didn't know either, but then I went to see the movie.
Well, we have been talking today with Daughter of St. Paul, Sister Rose Picotti, and John Mulderig from OSV News about movies and the Oscars. You can find John Mulderig's reviews on CatholicReview.org, and you can read Sister Rose's reviews at SisterRoseMovies.com. That's sister spelled out. Thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you. It was fun.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
You guys are great.
And I'm glad to know we're still all friends, so yes, that even though we can disagree.
We should just meet up for a movie next time everybody's in North America.
You know, we should do that. You know, I did see Society of the Snow.
Oh.
And I think that picked up a nomination in some categories. And I don't know if you saw Alive. You've kind of seen this. You know, it's about the crash of the Chilean rugby players. Mm-hmm. Remember back in the 70s,
oh,
I think.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, and it's kind of tough to watch. And we didn't talk about Napoleon.
Oh, right.
Which I found exceedingly boring.
I didn't like that one either. So we found a point of agreement.
Yay. Well, special thanks to my wife and guest co-host, Ann Augerton of the Arlington Catholic Herald. This is Christopher Gunty of the Catholic Review, and you have been listening to Catholic Review Radio.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.